Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, January 19th, 2020. Section F, Oil Report. Changing Marketplace. Private Equity Adjusting to Changing Energy Marketplace by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Private equity has been investing in businesses for more than a century, but private equity funds targeting the energy industry didn't appear until roughly 30 years ago. Even in that short amount of time, the marketplace has changed significantly, according to David Hobson, a partner in PetroCap LLC. Addressing members of the Society of Independent Professional Earth Scientists last week, Hobson said more than $178 billion is looking for a home in upstream or midstream assets. Those billions will have a hard time finding a home, and Hobson detailed several reasons why. The leading source of private equity funding has been foundations and public pension funds, followed by private pension plans and endowments, such as from the University of Texas and Stanford, Yale, and Harvard universities, he said. But now those same endowments are under tremendous pressure from professors and students to stop investing in oil and gas, making it harder for private equity to raise funds, he said. He went on to note that private equity funds, as a rule, don't see returns on their investments until they sell the assets. But public equity funding to the energy industry has essentially been shut off, making it difficult for the private equity funds to sell those assets. Private equity funds have figured out that they need to hold their assets for a longer period, he said. The funds have lowered their threshold on rates of return and shifted their strategy from build and flip to build a business, he said. And they're reevaluating their portfolios, he said. As the big funds realize they have 17 companies at work in the Delaware Basin that they're paying overhead for, they realize they can't do that any longer, so they take those 17 companies and say, we only need 7 or 8 or 5, and they squish them into that number. The dark side of that is, if you're a company that gets squished, all that work you put into that company, all that you've built, is now owned by someone else. The larger equity funds are now focusing on investments of $100 million or more. Large funds such as NCAP, NGP, and Kayne Anderson are raising billions, Hobson said, and are having to invest those billions in larger increments in order to see returns. Funds are also returning to their roots and focusing on proved, developed, producing assets with cash flow and low risk and working to lower costs and improve operational efficiencies, he said. A number of funds are establishing portfolios focused on mineral and royalty rights. In 2016, private equity spent money to sponsor royalty companies, he said. There are 36 private equity fund sponsors that have made 62 commitments to mineral and royalty companies. Hobson urged his audience to extend their focus on ESG and said private equity firms as well as Wall Street investors are studying how operators deal with the environment, social issues, and corporate governance. Whether or not they agree with all the environmental movement's positions, he said, the green movement is real. Citing Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg, he said, a lot of what she says appeals to those 16 to 30 who are making up their minds about how they feel about our industry. If a potential investor asked PetroCap about ESG concerns and was told there was nothing to those concerns, our investments would stop, he said. a number of the super majors, such as ExxonMobil and Shell, and even large independents, such as Pioneer Natural Resources, are addressing concerns. Hobson said much of it is common sense issues, such as emissions and how secure berms are in holding drilling and frack ponds. By the way, this applies to all industries, he said. We need to understand where they're coming from because they will have a bigger say in how our industry is run. Dive deep into nature as a Texas Master Naturalist. If you have ever wondered what kind of bird that was you saw in your tree, or that lovely spring wildflower you saw by the road, you might just be one of us. Anyone with curiosity about nature may certainly be interested in becoming a certified Texas Master Naturalist. The statewide Texas Master Naturalist program has more than 11,000 volunteers who enjoy learning and interacting with others who love nature. The Llano Estacado chapter of Texas Master Naturalists, based in Midland, is ready to accept a new class of trainees this month. The qualifications to be a trainee are simple: the willingness to learn and volunteer. To achieve certification, trainees complete 40 hours of instruction, including classroom and field studies on varied topics such as mammals, water resources, reptiles, insects, ecology, geology, and habitats. Trainees are required to volunteer 40 hours per year in activities such as butterfly gardening, dove banding, teaching children about dragonflies, or participating on a bird count team. And finally, trainees are required to complete 8 hours of advanced training, which includes activities such as webinars, conferences, or brown bag talks at Sibley Nature Center. Contrary to popular belief, our West Texas home has plenty of nature to observe and learn about. The local chapter partners with the Sibley Nature Center and the I-20 Wildlife Preserve for volunteer and teaching opportunities. These are two very special natural places in our area. The $130 registration fee covers the full year of training, chapter dues, and the Texas Master Naturalist's comprehensive textbook. Our first class meets at Sibley Nature Center, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. The group will then meet one or two Saturdays a month throughout the spring and early summer to complete training. Email llanoestacadotmn@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at llanoestacadotmn for more information. We hope you will join us to learn more about our surroundings outside and let the adventure begin. Training schedule: Saturday, orientation, land stewardship, Phil Dickerson, Texas Naturalists, Pat Hunter. February 8th, ecosystems, Rebecca Dodge, entomology, Michael Nickel. February 22nd, wetland ecology, Nathan Knowles, plants naturalist, Nathan Taylor. March 14th, mammalogy, Phil Salonik, ranchland management, Katie Hoskins. March 27th, 28th, geology field trip, Cliff Cuffey. April, TBA, to be announced. May 9th, plants naturalist Nathan Taylor, volunteers as teachers, Phil Salonik, Tahoka Lake field trip. May 16th, urban ecosystems, Emmy Elmschneider, water resources, Kelly Cook. June, TBA, to be announced. Mary Ann Dingus, Llano Estacado chapter of Texas Master Naturalists. Be proactive to prevent weeds from emerging. Now is a great time to start preparing your garden for the weeds that may begin to germinate soon. Think about trying a pre-emergent herbicide to help create a protective layer over your lawn to prevent the early weeds from growing. Early spring, around Valentine's Day, in our area is the perfect time to apply a pre-emergent. Getting ahead of weeds is one of the best options for weed control. Once weeds' seeds begin to germinate and grow, they are taking necessary water and nutrients from other plants in your garden. If you apply a pre-emergent, you can buy yourself some time from early emerging summer annuals, such as lamb's quarters, common mallow, and pigweed. These are all very aggressive weeds that have developed resistance to post-emergent herbicides. Not allowing these weeds to mature and produce more seeds with resistant qualities will help maintain your garden and keep it from getting out of hand and preventing you from enjoying any beauty in your garden in the coming spring and summer. If you want to avoid mechanical methods of removing weeds, remember to apply a pre-emergent to lessen the number of germinating seeds. Any that you may miss, be sure to attack when they are still very small and easier to pull by hand. If you are proactive and prevent the accumulation of weed seeds in your garden, you will be very thankful for the results when your flowers and vegetables do not have to compete for resources and your garden is very clean and happy looking. Jeanette Costanon, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. It's time to prune grapevines, plan new garden, add mulch. It's January, and there is much to do this time of year. Gardening crops, such as onions and asparagus, should be planted soon. Or you can begin planning that new garden. If you have grapevines, it's time to prune and start training the vines. A common mistake made is not pruning hard enough. Heavy pruning gives the best quality grapes and promotes fruiting. You want to cut off as much of the old wood as possible. This will encourage the growth of new wood, which is where the fruit is produced. The seed racks will be in stores soon. Decide what you will need and stock up. Go ahead and buy the seeds you will need in the fall as well. Some of the local big box stores don't have seeds after mid-May, so you need to plan ahead. Seeds can successfully be stored indoors in a dark, cool place. I use shoeboxes in an upper cabinet in my utility room. Mulch is a must now for spring. Mid-March is about when our weeds begin to germinate, and you want to stop the light from reaching those seeds. 4 to 6 inches of mulch is recommended. Remember, you will need to add more during the year as decomposition begins. The cities of Midland and Odessa have free mulch if you want to take advantage of that. If you are starting new spaces, you can begin to mark and lay out the beds. On warm days, you can begin digging and getting those beds ready for planting by adding compost. Visit westtexasgardening.org for the recommended plants for our area. Drive around and look for yards that have winter plants you like. There are plants that have beautiful color and greenery in winter, and you may want to consider them for adding color in your yard for enjoyment next winter. Ornamental grasses are beautiful this time of year, and the picture with this article is a good example of that. Keep watering your lawn and evergreens. In the case of Bermuda grass, the part of the grass you see is dormant, but the roots continue to grow and need water, although less often than in the spring and summer. For further information, call the AgriLife office in Midland at 686-4700. Debbie Rowland, Permian Basin Master Gardeners. Family has trouble accepting parents' move to warmer clime. Dear Abby, my husband and I relocated to a warmer climate a few years ago, putting us more than 1,000 miles away from my adult children. The kids all seem to think this trip was just for fun and continue to ask me to come home. All three of them are busy with their own well-rounded lives, and the last few years we were there, their visits became less frequent and shorter. We are now in a state that is much more economical than our home state, and our health and well-being have greatly improved. How do I let them know once and for all that I am home? Loving the Southwest. Dear Loving the Southwest, a way to let them know would be to explain that the move has been a positive experience for you and your husband, so much so that your health has improved. Tell them the added bonus is that your living expenses have gone down, and with them, any stress about finances. Let them know they are welcome to visit when it's convenient for all of you. But do not make it about the fact that when you lived close by, their visits became fewer and shorter, which would be regarded as a guilt trip. If you have other friends and relatives where your children live, it's likely you may be visiting that area occasionally, too. Dear Abby, my husband and I recently gained custody of my younger half-brother after a nasty legal battle with my father and stepmother. While we abhor what led to this, we are delighted my brother is in our home and our lives. With the exception of his parents, so is everyone else in our families. My brother will be coming with us to family gatherings that include my dad and stepmother. Most of the family is not privy to the circumstances that led to this situation, and I'm sure questions will come up. My brother has PTSD from it, and talking about it right now is difficult for him. He's in therapy and receiving help. But how can we dissuade potentially upsetting questions without things being weird? Protective in California. Dear Protective, a way to accomplish it would be to have a private talk with your relatives before these events. Explain what happened and that your brother is receiving help, but is in too much pain right now to answer any questions, which is why you prefer the subject not be mentioned. Dear Abby, I'm responding to not just Mary in the South. The lady whose name is Mary Lou, but is continually called only Mary, even though she prefers being called by her full name, I had the same problem. My name is Mary Ann, but I was constantly called Mary, which I hated. To solve the problem, I combined the names and started writing my name as one word, Mary Ann. Since then, I have never again been called Mary. By the way, when I also had to give the initial of my middle name, because the A was no longer available, I started using B, which is the first letter of my maiden name. Mary Lou should try this, and I hope it is as effective for her as it was for me. Mary Ann in Tennessee. Dear Mary Ann, I'm printing your letter because it included the most frequently mentioned suggestion by other readers, and also because it makes perfect sense. Thank you for sharing. Dear Abby, write Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate. It's best to buy fresh vegetables, fruit, as they are needed. Dear Heloise, how do you store, save, onions, potatoes, and bananas? Cabbage and lettuce. I buy bananas for 1 week, and they turn brown and mushy. Waste. If I put them in the fridge, my family won't eat them cold, and they still turn brown. Eva M., Mount Airy, North Carolina. Eva, it's always best to buy fresh produce as you need it. However, if you want to store potatoes and onions, put them someplace dry, cool, and preferably dark, but not the refrigerator. Cabbage and lettuce go in the refrigerator. Uncooked cabbage should be placed in a plastic bag or plastic wrap and kept in the refrigerator. Cooked cabbage keeps about 3 to 4 days. Lettuce usually lasts 5 to 7 days in the refrigerator. Remember, lettuce can harbor E. coli bacteria, so it's best eaten as soon as it's bought. Always wash your lettuce before using. Bananas are ripe when you begin to see little brown freckles on the yellow skins, usually 5 to 7 days. That's when it's best to eat them. Heloise. Hungry Seniors. Dear Heloise, I read with interest the letter from a woman who commented on a previous writer's letter about two elders reduced to looking for free meals to eat after a funeral service. People should be more caring about the misfortune of others. I would have welcomed two strangers showing up who needed to eat at an event I sponsored. William Hinton, Reuther Glen, Virginia. William, hunger among seniors in America is increasing, and some older adults have to skip meals or have smaller portions because they can't afford or can't prepare a proper meal. However, elderly people can contact Meals on Wheels, mealsonwheelsamerica.org. There also are local food banks and many churches that provide hot meals or know where a senior can get a decent meal. Heloise. P.S. Meals on Wheels always welcomes financial donations. Freezer Foe. Dear Heloise, why does everything in my freezer seem to dry out? Ella S., Klamath Falls, Oregon. Ella, keep your freezer at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. If the temperature fluctuates, it will cause frozen foods to lose their moisture faster, and they will become much drier and tough. Heloise. Discoloration. Dear Heloise, as an interior designer, I warn people to avoid discoloring their kitchen flooring with scatter rugs that have rubber backings, especially on the no-wax flooring. The rubber will cause discoloration over a short period of time. While scatter rugs in the kitchen look nice and add a pop of color, they can be dangerous if someone trips over the edge of the rug or if the rug is on a slippery floor. Lana D. in Miami. Hints from Heloise, King Features Syndicate. Extraordinary characters gather for Texas Folklife Festival. I was one of the early ambassadors of the Texas Folklife Festival that started 48 years ago on the grounds of the Institute of Texan Cultures in San Antonio. It was designed to show off the state's diverse cultural population. Joanne Andera, who began as a bilingual tour guide, now is the director of the festival, a post she has held for 39 years. The festival was all about unique characters getting together in one place, says Joanne, whose office is full of festival memorabilia and photographs. The festival became a family, and participants looked forward to their annual reunion. The Lebanese belly dancers drew a big crowd. So did the crawfish races put on by the Cajuns from Port Arthur, and the storytellers who told outrageous stories, most of them based on their own experiences. Spot Baird, professor of possumology, used to parade around holding a silver platter with a baked possum, sweet potatoes, and various garnishes on it. Possum Queen Daisy Potter accompanied him, dressed in regal attire complete with tiara. They were promoting the annual Yamboree in Gilmer. Cowboy Williams of Chapel Hill was there with his hog dogs, telling about his adventures hunting wild hogs and demonstrating how he calls up his dogs. Bill Brett, former postmaster of Hull, made rope from horsehair and hung out at the back 40 where pioneer crafts were demonstrated. Joanne says Bill brought moonshine to the festival. He called it his fortified vitamin C and offered it so people could taste real moonshine. Joanne went to Bill's funeral. He built his own coffin. When he was depressed or wasn't feeling too good, he'd go lie down in his coffin and just kind of think about the world. At his funeral, he was wrapped in his grandmother's quilt and carried to his final resting place in a horse-drawn carriage. Hondo Crouch of Luckenbach was a popular figure at the festival. He used to dance with the belly dancers. One of the racing crawfish died, and Hondo got a funeral together. They had this huge funeral procession, complete with a couple of nuns, and laid the little crawfish in a burial plot on one of our berms. The festival takes place the first weekend in June. None of the original characters are around anymore, but there are new ones to take their places. Joanne says it was just the best time when all the extraordinary characters were there. They were just wonderful people who had an unusual hobby or talent or love of something. We truly miss them. The festival is preserving the history of these people. I'm very proud of what this event has done. I know people who met at the Folklife Festival and have been married for 40 years. I know friendships made here that have lasted. It's a very unique event. Tumbleweed Smith, columnist.
Local News Roundup. Border Patrol seizes 400 pounds of pot. Van Horn. U.S. Border Patrol agents seized about 400 pounds of marijuana during the first hours of the new year. In some professions, you get to be off for the holidays. In our line of work, we remain alert and vigilant every day of the year, Big Bend Sector Chief Patrol Agent Matthew Hudak said in a news release. We are responsible of securing our homeland along the southwest border 24/7, 365 days out of the year. I am extremely proud of our agents' vigilance and hard work to keep our communities safe. On Tuesday, New Year's Eve, at about 9 p.m., Van Horn agents were notified of a group of six individuals that appeared to be illegally present and detected with night vision technology. Agents responded to an area where they could tactically encounter the individuals to further investigate their immigration status. On Wednesday, New Year's Day, at approximately 2:30 a.m., agents along with a service canine approached the individuals. As the agents reached their location, the individuals fled. A short while later, a service canine alerted the agents to six makeshift rectangular burlap backpacks. The contents of the backpacks tested positive for marijuana, weighed about 400 pounds. Van Horn agents are continuing to search for all the subjects who fled. The marijuana was turned over to the Drug Enforcement Administration. Odessa man dies in rollover south of Midland. A 25-year-old Odessa man died in a single-vehicle rollover south of Midland. The reported fatal rollover happened at 4:20 a.m. Sunday, 1 mile south of Midland, on County Road 1232. Fernando Munoz, 25, of Odessa, was reportedly driving a 2017 Dodge Ram 1500 south on County Road 1232. The Dodge Ram 1500 left the roadway and rolled. Munoz was pronounced dead at the scene. The 25-year-old wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Sheriff's Office responds to gunshot victim. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to a call regarding a gunshot victim that may be a possible drive-by shooting at 3:25 p.m. Sunday in the 2400 block of West Berry Street. A juvenile male had been transported to Medical Center Hospital by a private vehicle with a gunshot wound to his leg. The victim was listed in stable condition at the time of this release, Sunday evening, but his identity was not given. No arrest has been made at this time, and the investigation continues. Odessa man dies in crash. The Odessa Police Department is continuing to investigate a fatal crash that occurred at about 1:56 a.m. January 4th in the 3300 block of West Highway 80. Investigation revealed that a white Ford F-150 being operated by Dustin Jr. Garcia, 19, was traveling westbound on Highway 80 and left the roadway before rolling over. Garcia was pronounced dead on scene and next of kin were notified. police searching for a man in connection to auto burglary. The Odessa Police Department is looking for a man involved in an auto burglary in west side of Odessa. The reported auto burglary happened at 11:30 a.m. December 13th in the 3600 block of West 5th Street. Investigation reportedly showed a man burglarized a black GMC Sierra and took the victim's wallet and several personal documents. Anyone with information on the auto burglary is asked to contact Detective W. Branch at 432-335-4924.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget, you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.